welcome as we continue with our recorded services. We really hope that this is helpful for you as we live through the social distancing and the important protections that are in place. It's wonderful news that all of these measures are working as well as they are. So please remember to reach out and say hello to someone this week and keep encouraging each other at this time. Friends, we've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. On this Trinity Sunday, let us pray to the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that our lives may bear witness to our faith. Father, you sent your word to bring us truth and your spirit to make us holy. Through them, we come to know the mystery of your life. Help us to worship you, one God in three persons, by proclaiming and living our faith in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. God is holy. He is our ultimate creator, perfect in power, love, and purity. Let's join together and acknowledge the Lord God Almighty by singing Holy, Holy, Holy. Finishing our current sermon series today, Trevor has been using Hugh Mackay's book, What Makes Us Tick, to consider how we live as Christians in our social environment. of course, what makes us all tick in Sydney is pretty similar. So there's an important reflection for us to make on how we're the same and different to this as people who turn to Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. Today's topic is the desire to be useful. And this aspect of what it is to be part of modern Australia is a real balance for us as Christians. We have to balance the desire to be useful and help serve those around us, but then to do this without it being about us, without it being to secure other people's approval. Rather, like all we do, it's in the context of our relationship with God that we're asked to act. But more on this soon from Trevor. The Bible tells us that we need the forgiveness we can only get from Jesus. We've just sung of God's holiness to acknowledge him, but we are not holy. We are alienated and are his enemies because of our evil behaviour. The Bible tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. In the words of Isaiah 55, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near." And the prophet Daniel tells us that the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him, even though we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart and full assurance of faith and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God desires that no one should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. We confess our sins in response to his call. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we hear Diane read the Bible passages for today, let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our first reading today comes from Romans chapter 12, starting from verse 3 through to verse 13. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Our second reading is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, Do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to church again. It's good to see you. It's good news that we've heard that we'll be able to join together shortly and be patient still, but we look forward to that day when we can meet together face to face. Today, as David has mentioned, we conclude our sermon series, What Makes People Tick? A look at the Bible's reasoning and answers to people's pressing needs and wants. We've considered the desire to be taken seriously, the desire to believe in something, the desire to connect, the desire to be loved, and last week, the desire to belong. Five of the top 10 desires sociologist Hugh Mackay, in his book What Makes People Tick, considers as our pressing needs and wants. Needs and wants, as Christians, we believe best found in a relationship with God, through Jesus Christ, as revealed in his word, the Bible. Living life God's way, from his perspective. The cross of Christ reminds us of that. So today we consider the need to be useful. Well, of all the desires, strangely, I've found this one the easiest to observe in myself. I don't like not doing something. I like to be busy and I like to help out where I can. On Thursday, I got a phone call asking for donations to a good cause. Instantly, I felt I had to help out. The initial feeling was compulsive, but then I reminded myself I didn't have to do this, and then I felt guilty. Another thing, I don't like being bored, not doing anything for a long time. By the end of a long holiday, I know I've had enough break and refreshed. I start thinking about ministry again and looking forward to getting back to work. I've heard this is a feeling some retirees feel not too long after they retire. There's a time when they think, this is good, no more work. But soon the boredom sets in and they're looking for things to do, annoying their spouses. You just ask their spouses how true and annoying this must be. Hugh argues in his book, we desire to be useful for a number of reasons. We gain one because it just simply makes us feel good. We gain some internal tick of approval, a golden star, a pat on the back for stepping in and helping out. And it's reinforced by our admiration and our praise for jobs well done. Secondly, our identity is tied up in our usefulness. We are what we do. This may be a bloke thing, but often the first question us blokes ask each other when we meet each other for the first time is, well, what do you do for a living? And thirdly, being useful in the group tells us we are valued, we belong, we play a part. No one wants to leave this world not proving oneself useful, writes Hugh. We like being known as someone who has pitched in, made a contribution, and left this world a better place. However, like we've found with all our desires that we've looked at, there's an ugly side. Well, maybe not an ugly side, a side of us we need to be careful about. Sometimes we can think we're useful when we're not at all. And other times, we are useful, but we don't think we are. Like, when we really want to help someone do something, get through something, and we believe we're the best person to help them, with good intentions, we take the initiative and then crowd them with our time and our advice. Let me tell you what you should do here. Hugh argues, without a doubt, here is proof of our desire to be useful, but without being useful. The sad thing is, we may well have been the best person to help, but we've just gone about it the wrong way. Maybe asking if it's wanted, or just be able to be around and ready to respond when it is, or helping them to work it out for themselves by asking questions. What do you think you should do here? Sometimes the most useful thing we can do for someone is just let them find out the hard way. Ask those who are parents. And then there are other times we are useful, but we don't think we are. It might be because no one has ever told us what we're good at or given us a chance to have a go. It might be because we think our day job is of no benefit to anyone, but we haven't even thought about what might be something else that we could do that could be useful. At a previous church I worked at, one of the men was an aeronautical engineer. At the end of each year, in planning for the new year, I put out a sharing in ministry pamphlet. It listed useful jobs that people could do in the church with an explanation. And it gave them the opportunity to choose something that they could do and commit to it to help out in the new year. Nigel returned his first sharing in ministry pamphlet with, "Sorry, Trev, love to help, but if ever you need a helicopter built for parish visits, happy to oblige." Needless to say, Nigel made a great mower of the grounds and a good Bible reader. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, King Solomon wisely looks back on life and concludes, "I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God." Our two Bible readings this morning pick up on the desire to be useful in the life of the church. They both affirm the desire and encourage us to be useful, but in a useful way. Our Romans reading reminds us to know what we're useful at and not to be backward in coming forward to use it. With reference to a few examples, and by no means exhaustive, we read there in verses 6 to 8, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And in our Matthew reading, "Be useful by giving to the needy." And by the needy, I don't think Jesus is simply restricting our giving to anyone wisely in need of money. It could be anything another needs that we could give. Say, for instance, our time, our ear, our attention, whatever we're useful at. I think it's plain in what we read here that we are encouraged to be useful and to do it in an appropriate, deliberate, helpful, encouraging, generous, helpful, diligent, and cheerful way. But what I read, I don't think we can allow ourselves in the life of the church to justify the feeling of being useless. But Trevor, we may feel useless. We're not the person up front, or the person everyone knows or turns to for help. What can I contribute? I want to, but I don't know how, or if I can or should. That's okay. That's how many feel. But if that's you, You don't have to be the person up front, or the person everyone turns to for help, or think you need to be. Choosing to live life God's way, regularly meeting with God's people, joining in the prayers, the statements of belief, the songs, the fellowship, the learning, the giving, is being useful. Even as you listen into this recording, your desire and willingness to believe, to belong, to connect, to love in the life of God's family, the church, is useful in helping me and others. By doing so, you encourage us. And I trust we do for you too. Thank you. I'm reminded of my Year 10's English master, Year 8, Mr. Regan, who taught me to recite Milton's sonnet on his blindness. When I consider how my light is spent, o'er half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent which be death to hide, lodged with me useless, though my soul more bent, to serve there with my Maker and present my true account, lest he returning chide. Doth God exact day labour night denied? I fondly ask. But patience to prevent that murmur soon replies. God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly. Thousands at his bidding speed post, O land and ocean, without rest. They also serve who only stand and wait. If you are standing and waiting, come and see me and ask me how you can be all the more useful in living for the kingdom. But you might be one who's standing but not waiting, not wanting to be useful. Comfort and reassurance is not what you need, but a prod, a rebuke. You are a part of the body, this church. You have a contribution to be useful. The rest of us need you. A foot that goes to sleep is not very helpful for the rest of the body in moving forward. Find out what that usefulness is and use it. Look there at verses 4 and 5 of Romans. For just as each of us has one body with many parts, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Both these Bible passages before us this morning have affirmed the desire to be useful, and they encourage us to be useful, but in a useful way. In finishing, look now there at verses 3 to 5 of our Romans reading. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And verse 1 of Matthew, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. In our desire to be useful, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. In our desire to be useful, be careful not to practice our righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Do it in secret that Jesus may see. Many a clergy person and keen lay person have fallen into this trap. Inspired more by our need to be taken seriously and in control, we smother the usefulness of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We cripple the usefulness of the church as one body, and we steal the glory that is due to God. Such behaviour never comes across as useful, but a soft form of bullying. So when you give to the needy, remember, however you might be useful, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, that's all they get. They have received their reward in full by all those on the street. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Sage advice for applying to the motivation for all our desires. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you see all and you know all. You've placed in all the desire to be useful. Give us the grace to know what we can be useful at, and with the help of your Holy Spirit, the means to do it in a godly way. That whatever we find that we can do that is useful, we so do it for the good of others and your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Trevor. Let's join together and sing a song of joy, Live for the Kingdom. does feel like the hour to be serving the King, doesn't it, at the moment with what's going on? Why don't we all affirm together what we believe by saying the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rosemary is now going to come and lead us in our time of prayer.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Listen to our cry for mercy. Teach us your way, Lord, that we may rely on your faithfulness. Give us an undivided heart, that we may fear your name, for great is your love towards us. And we hear that from Psalm 86, starting at verse 5. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you are the hope and healer of your people, and promise a world where there is no more sickness or crying or death. By your death and resurrection, you have set your people free from the penalty of sin and death. We pray that your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please prosper the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus. We continue to pray that you will give to our governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis. Please strengthen those who are treating the sick and comfort those who are living in fear of this disease. We pray that you will give to all people peace beyond understanding, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety that they may find that peace which only you can give through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray as a congregation that we will still care for one another and prioritise the need to encourage one another as we remain restricted in many ways and also in our ability to gather together physically. We pray for Lynn Clark as she continues to recover, and we pray that you will help Graham as he cares for her. And today, Lord, we particularly pray for Justine and Craig, Charlie and Naomi Loudon and their family, as they care for Justine's father, who is in a coma after a recent fall. We pray that you will grant them peace and the willingness to be together as a family to care for him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability that soon we will be able to return to church. We thank you for the wise decisions that have been made. And Lord, we pray as the churches around Sydney prepare for their congregations to return, that you will help them to make wise decisions. We particularly pray for those larger churches who will find this a very difficult thing to do due to the number of people and the spaces that they have. We continue to pray for our congregation here, that you will strengthen, guard them, keep them, and guide them in all faithfulness and truth, knowing that your word will stand firm forever and that you are a God who never lets us go. We thank you for your loving care for us over the many weeks where we have found it difficult, And Lord, we pray and look in excitement to those times that we can be together again. Heavenly Father, we also pray for Shine and Jessica Thomas, who are at home on home here on home assignment. We thank you that Shine's dad is recovering well, and we particularly pray for them as they plan to return to Thailand. The preparations will go smoothly. We pray for their children as they adjust once again to moving, and we pray as they meet with those who are supporting them here that we may continue to uphold them in prayer and financially, so that as they rely on your strength to continue their work overseas, that they may bring glory to your name. O Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. We thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. We thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. We thank you that we can be useful in your kingdom to bring love and glory to your name. We thank you for your great love and care. And we thank you for your mercy and grace through the work of your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we are special to you, that you are always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom and life. We pray that you will forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are and for all that you do, for all that you've given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits and fill us with your peace and joy so that we may be useful to you and your work. We love you and we need you this day and every day, and we give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. So together be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth, that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
Well, as you would have received by email, just the latest bulletin or newsletter that's come through to you. Also, you would have received from Glenn, our Archbishop, a letter that's encouraging us to pray for peace and reconciliation in these times. It is good news that on the 5th of July, our plan is to return, and we're very thankful to our wardens and parish council as they prepare to make this place safe and useful for us on our return. Bible study is this evening on Sunday night. If you wish to join in with us for this one, then please let me know and I'll send you the link. Next Sunday, we have a guest speaker from the Church Missionary Society, and Dan Arthur. And Dan's going to bring us up to speed with how missionaries are coping during this time of COVID-19. But that's next week.
So let's sing together again, this time as we recognise how we want to be filled with God as we run the race before each of us. Let's join together. May the mind of Christ my Saviour. I'm going to pray for us as we finish our service together. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your gentleness and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts and words and actions. Please send us out with confidence in your word to tell the world of your saving acts and bring glory to your holy name. Amen. Together with the words of the grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. All the best, everyone, for the week ahead.